It is a cool spring night. The silver moon slips behind a cloud momentarily, then reappears to light the branches of the garden's olive trees, their silhouettes interwoven over the garden path. Brought to life by a whispering wind, olive leaves rustle softly. A movement along the garden path becomes a solitary shadow, the figure of a man moving quietly. His hesitant steps seem unsure of the way. He pauses as if searching for something he cannot find. Unsatisfied, he moves forward again. Gathering his long robe, he stoops to miss an olive branch curling low to the path. From the robe, a hand appears to push away the smaller branches. The night visitor is arrested by a fork in the way. Frustrated by indecision, the figure starts to turn back as if willing or unwilling to give up the search. He does not know what to do. One of the tassels on the hem of his robe catches on the thorns of a small thicket. Were it not for the thorns, he already would be retracing his steps out of the garden. Instead, he fumbles to free the tassel, for the moonlight is darkened once again by another cloud. With patience, he slowly releases the impaled tassel. The tassel now free, he rises to leave the garden just as the cloud, which has moved across the moon, moves away and lets its prisoner go. Moonlight suddenly shines, revealing an anxious face furrowed with thought. An intense face, the earnest, searching face of Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He turns again, deciding not to leave. The silent stranger to the garden path moves back and takes the fork toward a clearing in the path. As he presses on a few more steps, Nicodemus suddenly spies another figure ahead in the clearing, the Galilean. Nicodemus had gambled he could find the Galilean in the garden on this cool spring evening. The Galilean's followers spoke openly of this garden retreat, that the Galilean came to Gethsemane often to be alone. And now Nicodemus has discovered him here, alone, sitting silently, as though meditating in the garden's quiet peace. But is it really the Galilean? In the shadows, Nicodemus cannot be sure. Nicodemus cannot risk a mistaken identity, not as a ruler of the Jews. He would not want anyone to know he had been looking for the Galilean. He must first see who it is before he speaks. As he moves another step closer, Nicodemus snaps a twig under his sandal. A head rises to inspect this unannounced visitor. Nicodemus, alarmed that his trespass is disclosed, stares into the deep eyes of Jesus. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, confused. Confused because he does not understand. He does not understand the quest of his heart. He does not understand that he is moved by the Spirit of God. He does not understand that he stumbles because he cannot see. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He stumbles in spiritual darkness. And he does not understand this one they call Jesus. His peers have warned him to avoid Jesus. Some even call him a sorcerer. But a voice, like a whispering wind, calls to him, "Go see Jesus. Talk to Jesus." So, impelled beyond his ability to hold back, Nicodemus has sought Jesus out. He must engage this Galilean, but he cannot sacrifice his reputation. After all, he is a ruler of the Jews. He is supposed to know the things of God. He is supposed to know all that is to be answered about the rituals of religion. Religious questions should be addressed to him. So Nicodemus has sought the cover of night, and coming to Jesus in the darkness of night, Nicodemus comes in his own spiritual darkness. Nicodemus has found Jesus, as he suspected, in the garden. The wind whispers. The cool night breeze caresses the olive trees. The branches sway, first over here, then over there, gently moved by an invisible force that brings them to life. Jesus seems undisturbed by this intrusion. He receives Nicodemus almost as if he were expecting this ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus suddenly realizes that his speech is unprepared. His pulse quickens. His breath grows quick and short. His mind races along, and his heart keeps pace. Now that Jesus is before him, what should he say? Where should he start? Does he even dare to suggest what he secretly has wondered? Does this Jesus truly know God? Nicodemus stumbles into conversation. Teacher, we know you are from God, for no one can do the signs you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus is embarrassed. His opening remark is poor. He has stated only the obvious. Everyone is saying God is with this Galilean. In his first words, Nicodemus certainly has not come across as an educated Pharisee. Yet Jesus does not seem to take notice of Nicodemus's words. His deep eyes pensively search the eyes of Nicodemus. Then the Galilean speaks with a low but clear tone. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The unexpected words catch Nicodemus by surprise. He did not mention the kingdom of God, yet that is his hidden question. Born again. Nicodemus wonders to himself. Jesus speaks in riddles. Is he serious or is he playing? If Jesus is serious, what he means cannot be possible for me, Nicodemus thinks. Yet Nicodemus is so curious about this peculiar thought, he finds himself drawn into pursuit. How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus responds without pause. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Again, the night breeze stirs itself into life, brushing the face of Nicodemus, tousling his hair. The whispering wind finds its way on up through the olive trees and fades away into the starry heavens. Its only trace, the diminishing rustle of the leaves. Jesus looks up at the trees and speaks again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from nor where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Indeed, Nicodemus knew not from where the wind had come, nor to where it was going. Yet he knew he had been touched by the reality of the whispering wind. He could not hold it in his hand, but he could feel its presence all around. And something was happening inside of him that was so much like the whispering wind, he was afraid. An inner voice, the Spirit of God touching his life, like the whispering wind, mysterious, uncontained, but present. And he heard, and he was touched. The voice whispered, "Do not be afraid to open your eyes, Nicodemus. Look at Jesus. The kingdom of God is near, even before you." Nicodemus is taken by this daring thought. He is too stunned to respond. His pharisaic training blocks his thoughts. The Spirit of God cannot be in this garden, Nicodemus argues with himself. Surely I am unfit for God. The inner voice simply repeats the words of Jesus. You must be born again. Nicodemus is unnerved. The reality of rebirth seems more than he can handle. He wants to run away, but he dares to stay. He wants to dash back down the garden path from which he has come and disappear into the night. But he wants forever the joy and peace he now is feeling. How can he feel so close to the end of his spiritual quest? Does the road to God end at the feet of this untrained Galilean? Here in Gethsemane's quiet olive groves. Now the deep irony of the truth buried in Nicodemus's first words begins to surface. Not only is this Jesus sent from God, he is himself the very voice of God's Spirit. Suddenly, Nicodemus recalls his first words, unless God is with him. That is why Jesus did not react to his first words as though they were thoughtless. God is with him indeed. But something more is here. Nicodemus begins to realize, and he is overwhelmed with awe. Nicodemus tries to object. How can these things be? Ironically, Jesus replies, are you a teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know, and we bear witness of that which we have seen, but you do not receive our witness. How, if I tell you earthly things and you do not believe, will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. Nicodemus remembers the ancient history. In days long ago in ancient Israel, when the young nation was being born again out of Egyptian slavery, a great plague had struck in the desert. The people had loathed the manna provided by God, and God had judged their sin with an invasion of serpents with a fiery sting of death. The people cried out to Moses, and God provided redemption. Moses was told to make a bronze serpent and put the serpent upon a pole. Unless the Israelites beheld the bronze serpent staked into the sky, they died. Beholding the bronze serpent, they lived. Now, unless Nicodemus sees the meaning of Jesus himself suspended upon a stake in the sky, Nicodemus will die and never see the kingdom of God. So the great mystery of entrance into the kingdom of God is the mystery of rebirth by faith in a crucified Jesus. So a new spiritual truth breaks forth with beauteous light upon the mind of Nicodemus. The kingdom of God is not life reached for. The kingdom of God is life received. Always this has been God's way. Even in the wilderness, the wind whispers once again. Leaves that had settled on the ground dance a whirlwind down the garden path along which Nicodemus has made his way to find Jesus. Now suddenly, Nicodemus realizes that he too, like the leaves, has been moved by an unseen force. The Spirit of God has moved him divinely into this encounter with the Son of Man. Nicodemus now knows his spiritual quest for the kingdom of God finds its destination in the Galilean. Believing in Jesus is eternal life. Believing in Jesus is being born again. You must be born again. Was Nicodemus born again? You decide. The next time we hear the name of Nicodemus, he alone is defending Jesus courageously before the Pharisees at a Feast of Tabernacles. The last time we hear of Nicodemus, he is one of the few persons around Jesus at Calvary. He had brought 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes for the burial of the body of Jesus. At Gethsemane, you see, Nicodemus had come to Jesus in the dark of night, afraid of being seen with Jesus. At Calvary, Nicodemus came to Jesus in the light of day, unashamed, to help bury Jesus. Nicodemus helped bury Jesus, but Jesus arose from that grave. The resurrection proves that Jesus has the power to give the eternal life he promised to Nicodemus. Jesus died on a Roman cross, executed as a common criminal. But the deeper spiritual truth is that he died executed by sinful men. Sin nailed the nails. My sin, your sin. He died for Nicodemus. He died for me. He died for you. That's what God's word declares. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. And whoever does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their deeds be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds might be manifested as having been wrought in God. Even today, the mystery of unbelief is inconceivable, for some would choose spiritual darkness rather than God's love. Some would wander forever lost in the darkness of night. Since the light of God's love lays bare the evil in our hearts, we react against God's love as sinful human beings. Better to crucify God's love than to stand exposed in its light. But those who really seek the truth, like Nicodemus, come out of the darkness into the light at Calvary. There we all can see the Son of God dying for us, for our sins. There we can see the death of Jesus as our birth into God's kingdom. Like the thorns that held Nicodemus to Gethsemane, another set of thorns, a thorn of crowns, crown of thorns, holds us to Calvary. The search for God ends at the foot of the cross. There the struggle for life is settled. The questions are answered. There we are born again. Born of God's Spirit. Born of the whispering wind. Would you pray with me? You may wonder right now in your heart, well, that's all good and fine, and perhaps it could happen for Nicodemus, but not for me. Perhaps you too are stunned like Nicodemus was. Nicodemus was convinced the Spirit of God himself could not be in the garden, that he surely was unfit for God, and perhaps you too are convinced that the Spirit of God could not be here in this place right now talking to you. Perhaps you too are convinced you are unfit for God. Yet you also know the breeze of God's Spirit has blown across your heart. You have come to this moment because the whispering wind has moved you like an invisible force into this place to encounter Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is here, right now, before you. He has been expecting you. You may be confused. You may have many questions. Yet you hear a still small voice whispering to you, "You must be born again." You may ask, "How may I be born again?" God's word says, "To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Not by your will, not by your power, but by God." Receive Jesus into your life and you will be born again by the power of God. You will enter the kingdom of God and have eternal life. Nicodemus decided to believe in Jesus. He now has eternal life and lives in heaven with Jesus. What about you? If you died tonight, would you go to be with Jesus in heaven? Are you absolutely certain? If not, you can be. You can let this aisle of this church become your own garden path to Jesus. By walking down this aisle, you will be responding to the whispering wind right now, responding to God's Spirit calling you. As you leave your seat, you will be saying publicly that you want to follow Jesus. As you make your way to the front, someone will greet you. Tell them you want to receive Jesus into your life. This can be your own garden encounter with Jesus right now, tonight. But you must come without delay. The wind will not blow always across your heart as it is doing right now. God's word declares to us, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever." You have no guarantee that tomorrow will come. Life is fragile. Life is uncertain. To delay may cost you eternity. Heavenly Father, we pray that decisions be made to accept Jesus Christ tonight. In the time of invitation, we ask that your Spirit would move like the great whispering wind that tells our hearts we must be born again by your power. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. As you stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation, if God has spoken to you tonight about your need for Jesus Christ, you can make your way to the front and a minister will counsel you with your decision. You come now as we stand and as we all sing together.